Hey guys, my name is Rita B and welcome to my podcast, Faking Adulthood, where we talk all things about absolutely nothing because we don't know what we're doing. We don't know anything. Anyways, every week I'll be having a different co-host and we'll be talking about life and love and things and every single thing in between. Today, my co-host is Tony Tone. Woo!
Hey!
Yeah! Oh my days! I can't believe it! Woo! The crowd roars! Excitement! Excitement! Joy!
That's an intro.
Do you know what I mean? Get the intro, get the vibes going. So just imagine there's like a crowd here. Oh. The people are cheering.
I love it.
Like, oh my God. I can't believe it. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
For coming. We finally made this happen, man.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming, man.
Guys, I've been chasing Tony down.
Sorry.
I've been like, Tony, we need to get you on here. We need to get you on here. But one thing about Tony, she's going to travel.
Yeah. I've been jet setting.
Bruh. You've been outside. How many places have you been to this year?
Oh God. Let me think. Chicago, Texas, Milan, Verona, Arizona, there's more. Oh my God, I'm forgetting. Santorini,
wow.
Rhodes, Mykonos. I've been. But some of those places were part of a cruise, so four of them were like conjoined.
Wow.
I know.
Where have I been this year?
I've been doing too much.
Like where I'm trying to even think where I've actually traveled to this year. I feel like I haven't traveled.
Yeah, but you've been grinding, hustling.
I have been hustling.
Yeah,
I have been hustling.
That's important too.
I went to Cannes. That's
oh yeah, you did.
Yeah, but that felt like work.
Was it in Cannes when you were in Cannes?
Yeah, but I didn't see her.
Oh,
I went on a random. Honestly,
really,
I had no idea what it was. First of all. People kept talking about it, and I was like, "What is this?"
Oh, the Lions Festival.
Yeah,
I didn't know about it until my sister went. To be honest,
yeah. Never heard. Well, I've heard of it, but I just didn't know what it was. But it was actually incredible.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Really glad that I went. It was really good. It was the weather was nice. It was like loads of creatives
oh,
and like hearing about things from like the brand's perspective. I was like, oh, education. You know what I'm saying? Like, so this is very good.
Okay, nice.
Came back feeling smarter. So that's the only trip I've taken.
Oh, you'll do a trip then.
I have to do a trip.
Summer vacay.
I need something quick. Like,
I agree.
Italy or Greece or just something, you know.
Love a bit of Greece.
You know,
I recommend.
Just something nice.
Bodrum's nice. Turkey.
I haven't been there.
Oh, that's lovely.
I haven't been any of that side. I haven't been Turkey. No, I haven't been Turkey. No.
Oh, I think you'll like it.
Really?
Some really lovely hotels.
Really?
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
Yeah, I like it. You think you'll like it?
Yeah.
Well, guys, as you know, man, I like to start my show with a complaint of the day. Okay? It's like a rite of passage. I just feel like it's important to really get these things off your system. Do you know what I mean? It gets a bad rep complaining, you know, but...
That's true.
But I think, you know, I created the show just so I could complain. So we're going to start the show with a complaint. And I have, even as I was coming, something happened on the train. And I was like, this is my complaint, but I'm going to save it for another time.
Okay.
My complaint of the day is very simple, yeah? My complaint of the day is people who only post on Instagram on their birthday. So they have
do that?
Yeah, so they have a profile. Yeah. They have a profile. They, you know, they have maybe they have very, very old images and they don't post regularly, right? And then suddenly, once a year, they now post on their birthday. Right? And they pop out and then everyone's there, happy birthday, their engagement is so high. Oh, happy birthday. Then they're reposting it on their story. And for me, I think it's a little bit disrespectful. People like us, we're grinding every day. We're posting all the time.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? We're building our pages. We're building the engagement.
That is
true. Getting all the comments. Do you know what I mean? We're grinding. You know what I'm saying? We're making things click. You just wake up on your birthday.
Maybe they don't care about the engagement.
It's just, for me, it's just the principle of it.
Yeah,
like,
fair.
You're using us.
Yeah, yeah. You're watching, you're snooping.
You never give us anything the whole year.
Fair.
You go out, you have all these looks, all these outfits, all these adventures. You don't give us nothing. Nothing. And then your birthday pops up. You've got the perfect
accolades.
Picture for it.
Yeah.
And then
fair.
Us as humans, we give it to them. And what I need us to do is to not give them any attention. Because you don't like attention, eh?
Oh.
Should be you don't like attention.
Okay.
That's why you never ever post, but your birthday comes along and you're posting. And I find myself going, oh, happy birthday. And I was like, wait.
I want to know who did this.
You don't deserve this.
I want to know who did this.
So many people do it. It was one guy that did it this. I said, who do you think you are? You never post. And on your birthday, you post. And I'm just supposed to
be here like, happy birthday.
That's my complaint of the day. It's quite niche. Do you know what I mean?
It is niche.
And it's not my business. You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing about my complaints. It's like, it's not my business. It's not my life. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't ruin my day. But on this particular day, I thought, who do you think you are?
That is hilarious.
You just wake up and
note
then...
to self.
Yeah.
Do not leave Instagram and then pop up on my birthday. I remember this.
That is my complaint of the day. What's your complaint?
My complaint. Oh gosh. Well, I just came back from Milan, mm-hmm. and my complaint is mosquitoes. I'm covered in mosquito bites. Like, first of all, I didn't even know Italy had mosquitoes like that. I didn't bring any bug spray or anything because I'm like, oh, Italy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not thinking mosquitoes. Yeah. I'm not going to like the tropics.
Yeah.
I don't understand the purpose. Like, what is the purpose of mosquitoes? I think out of all animals, they're even responsible for the most deaths. Mosquitoes really? Kill more people every year than lions, than sharks, than bears.
That's a crazy fact.
What is the point? With other animals, it's like, okay, you eat, like even annoying animals like flies, I get the point.
Yeah.
Like you have a role to play in the ecosystem, right? But mosquitoes, like why are you there?
Yeah.
And I got bit more than anyone on my trip. I was in Italy with my sister and her friend, barely touched. Me, covered.
Wow.
I got bites everywhere. I'm over it. That's mosquitoes, I just don't get the purpose. I just don't get the function. Why are they in Italy?
It's actually true. What are they doing there? I would have never thought that we'd
there. What are you doing in Italy?
That's actually insane. But these flies, they be traveling, man. They really do be traveling. They like certain environments, you know. Maybe they like, you know, Italy, sunshine a little bit.
I googled it. Apparently, Italy is home to 60 species of... Also, there are over 3,000 species of mosquito. Why? Like, I just... Anyway, mosquitoes, I can't.
What?
That's my
the fact that you actually Googled it is actually killing me.
You know what? Because I wanted to know what are they doing there.
I need to get to the root of this.
I wanted to get to the root. I said, what are they doing there? Is this an anomaly? Did someone, like, bring them? Like, what is happening?
And there's 60 different...
60 of the 3,000 plus species of mosquito that exist. I don't even know why there are so many species. 60, roughly, are in Italy. I hate them. That's an insect I detest with a passion.
That is a crazy fact. But I'm here for it. You're like a walking dictionary, aren't you?
I try and know a few bits here and there.
Yeah, you know a lot of things. You're quite smart.
Put my encyclopedia on, have a little Google.
I like that, you know. My brain doesn't really work like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would, like, remember, I would, like, read something.
Yeah.
And then immediately I've forgotten
it.
Yeah, and then it will pop up. Randomly, like a party trick, like randomly I'll be chilling and someone will say something. It'll be like the most random thing and it's locked in my brain.
It just sits in your subconscious.
But it doesn't, I don't know how to push it. I need to learn how to push it forward.
Oh, mine doesn't always work like that, to be fair.
Yeah. And it feels like it does. You were like, did you know there's 60 species of mosquitoes? Out of the 60.
I Googled it recently, like I just came back. That's why it's in the back of my head. But I'm sure next week I will forget.
You really was like, it's good. Do you know what I've started doing? I've got a word of the day now.
Oh, I like that.
Because I found that my brain, like I said, it hasn't been working the way it needs to. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I'm sick of it. Do you know what I mean? I want to be that person that is having a conversation and randomly I just say something. Just a word.
A unique word,
like superfluous. No, that's not the word. I learned that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I feel like that's not quite it, is it? Is it super... I don't know what the word is either. But what's
superfluous?
No. Superfluous? I don't know. What's your word of today, though? I'm curious.
It's so sad. This is what I mean. I should have been able to use that word.
No, but that's an easy one to know. Because even I'm like, I can't even remember how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Okay, well, my word of the day is this. Pandemonium. Yeah, that's my word of the day.
Okay.
Pandemonium. Let's see if
like
I'm saying it right.
Chaos pandemonium.
Wow. Yeah. I meant to read. This is what I mean. She started.
Sorry.
I meant to now read what my definition is.
Sorry, read the definition.
Walking dictionary. No. Go on, tell us what it means.
No, I don't know.
Walking dictionary. Walking dictionary.
No, from memory, I was just like, oh, I've heard the word before. Pandemonium is usually like when you're in a state of pandemic, chaos, like. Everything is in disarray, right?
Everything is in disarray. That is the word of the day, guys.
That pandemonium is a good word. Underused.
It's underused, and I'm going to play it now. Let's see if I've said it right.
Pandemonium.
Let's do it again.
Pandemonium.
And yes, Tony is right. It's basically a wild uproar, unrestrained disorder, chaos. And I like that. Do you know what I mean? instead of just walking around and saying, oh, yeah, there's just so much chaos happening, I want to be able to see that, oh, there's so much pandemonium.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm surrounded by pandemonium.
God forbid, you'll never be surrounded by pandemonium.
It's true. God forbid. But yeah, that is my word of the day, guys.
Okay, I like
Pandemonium.
Pandemonium.
Pandemonium. Mm.
It's a tongue twister.
It's a bit of a tongue
twister. It's a tongue twister.
Pandemonium. Pandemonium. Yeah. That's my word of the day. I wish I could remember what my word the other day was, because it was a very good, it's a good word.
Do you remember what it was?
It was super.
Oh, the superfluous one. Is that it? Super?
No, it was like super, it sounded French. Now I'm not going to rest. Sorry, guys. I have to search it because it was a very good word. Okay.
Superfluous.
Oh, that
sounds, what does that mean?
It's like unnecessary.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
more,
it's like, especially through being more than enough. The purchaser should avoid asking superfluous information. It's like,
okay.
This is so unnecessary.
Superfluous.
Do you know what I mean? Superfluous.
It's
such a good word.
I like that.
You know? Superfluous.
Okay, I'll be using that.
Yeah. You know when you send an email, right?
Yeah.
And someone's like, hey, how are you? Hope you're well. And then they get into it, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you feel weird asking them how they are as well? Like, when they ask, how are you? Do you really want to know how I am? I just find it so like, do you know what I mean?
That is true. To be fair, it's one of those things you do where it's just out of like politeness and standard sense of like email etiquette.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone really cares, because when I get the, how are you? I'm well, thanks. Hope you're well too.
Yeah.
I don't even say, how are you? I just say, hope you're well too. Because it's like, let's just get past the fluff.
Yeah.
And let's go straight to the point.
But I feel bad sometimes, you know. Part of me is
really?
Like, maybe I should ask how you are.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how is
that's,
your day?
That's so sweet.
Do you know what I mean? But then I'm like, I don't think anyone gives a heck. I just think it's just...
And I don't think anyone will reply like, my day's been X, Y, Z. Like, you
would love to do that one day,
just
though.
Just to, like, offload.
Bruh, I would love to do that one day. Could you imagine that you just do, like, a casual, like, hey, how are you? And the person's like, well, I'm so glad that you asked. Actually, I've been going through this.
That's
I've been doing through that. Like, how would you even respond to that? I wouldn't know. I'd feel... Yeah, I'd feel maybe quite nice that they trusted me.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, wow, you chose me.
To offload on.
To
you
offload
must
on.
Really trust, yeah,
you
my
really
opinion.
Trust my opinion. But now, where's the money?
Money?
As in, where's the job, innit? The email, oh. Like, let's get past it. I love that you shared with me.
Okay.
You're like, money? You're like, where is the money for real?
Where's money coming from?
Where is the money for real? My other question is this. If you had a chance...
Yeah.
To go through another route, right? So imagine you can go into a different timeline.
Okay.
Just to see what would happen.
Okay.
Would you explore it? Like, you've got your life now, but you have the opportunity to go a different route and just to see what it would have been like if there was a different... You know when you make a decision and there's just one or the other?
Oh, okay, like across.
So now, yeah.
Absolutely not.
Oh, no, you're not even curious.
Absolutely not, no.
Wow.
Ignorance is bliss. Mm. Two... If I am to exist in the timeline that I'm already in, what does knowing do for me? How will it... Mm. It's not going to change my existing timeline. So how will that help me? Mm. And sure, on one hand, I could see a timeline that's really bad and all of a sudden be grateful, but I'd like to think I express gratitude in my life already.
Yeah.
And then I could see an alternate timeline that looks really amazing, but then I don't want to have like a distaste for my existing timeline. Mm. And I'm in a very, very happy mental state right now, emotional state, very happy. I don't want anything that could disrupt that.
Yeah.
So like, why do I, no, that timeline, be gone.
Yeah, be gone.
What about you? Would you pick to see?
A part of me will be a tiny bit curious. Like,
really?
I feel like because I've been at so many like crossroads in my life, so, like, I just wonder, what would it be like? What would have happened if I didn't have a salon? Do you know what I mean? What would that time... Because
I remember
before...
your salon days.
Yeah, but I remember just before that, like, my dad was saying to me, oh, yeah, you should go uni.
Yeah.
And, like, after I came back from New York, he was like, well, you're still young. Like, you could still go uni. Why don't you go to an actual drama school in London or study journalism? Da, da, da. I was like, no, I'm going to be a star. How dare you disrespect me? I've just come back from New York and you're telling me to go and study more. Like, I need to be in Hollywood. Do you know what I mean? So I wonder, like, what would my life have been like if instead of doing the salon, I went to drama school instead? And I couldn't have done the salon if I was in drama school.
That's true.
If I'd gone to uni, like, what would my life have been like then? If I did study journalism, like, what would it look like?
But could if I've you saw it, what would change now? Like, would
nothing.
You make different
nothing would
choices?
Change.
Would you take different steps in your present day, do you think?
No, because I actually think that, like, everything always leads to, like, where you're supposed to be anyway. Okay. But I just think that, like, I feel like we're always going to end up where we're meant to end up.
Okay.
I think our decisions just make it either longer or shorter.
I see.
That's, like, my theory. I think that you either go around and round in circles until you get there, especially when it's, like, really core things. Like,
yeah.
There might be someone that you have to meet. They're really part of your destiny.
Okay.
Or they might be, like, you know, like, just someone you're meant to help. Like, they're just, there's, I feel like there's, like, core I things see. That, like, I feel like the Bible says it best when it's like God always makes your crooked path straight.
Okay.
And I feel like that's what it means. Like, we're going to make decisions.
Yeah.
And we're going to do our own thing, right?
Yeah.
But then we're going to end up exactly where we're meant to, because your crooked paths will be made straight. So in my head, I feel like I've ended up where I need to, but I think I took a longer route.
I see.
Yeah. That's what I think.
But sometimes I also think that the length of your route might be exactly what you needed in your journey, because hypothetically, like, say where you are now, you of 10 years ago, for example, might not be doing as an amazing job as you're doing right now. Like, you're hosting your own podcast, you're doing great online, you're creating all this fantastic content.
Thank you.
But it's true, like, a lot of the content you create is based on the experiences you've had, right? The things you've been through too. You at 22, for example, it might not hit the same. And so sometimes what we see is like this long, frustrating journey is actually the straight journey, because you were meant to take that longer route. Like, sometimes I think, oh, if I was where I am now in my early 20s, like, what would have happened? I would have messed it up. I would probably be in debt. I would probably, like, not be dedicated to my craft. I would have had so many different distractions.
Yeah.
Sometimes it pays to do things later, I think.
I think so as well, you know. I actually definitely think that. Like,
yeah.
I think it pays to do things later. But the thing is, I guess we'll never know. Can you cook?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah?
But I'm not a great cook.
Okay, because if you were to...
Limited. Yeah.
Okay. Because if you were to have to cook a meal that was going to save your loved one's life, what would be that meal?
Oh, okay.
Like a guaranteed banger.
Okay, so this is why I say I'm limited. I can cook a lot of great meals, but I say I'm limited because I feel like the genre of meals that I should know best, I don't know.
So, Nigerian.
Yes. So that's why I say limited, because I don't like saying I can cook, because then people be like, oh, Efori Rule, Nigerian jollof rice. So I manage people's expectations.
Yeah.
And then I like to, like, under-promise and over-deliver.
Mm.
But if I had to save a loved one's life, I think... that's a good bloody question. Maybe, like, a chicken and mushroom risotto, or... or... oh my gosh. Okay, this is a very simple dish, but every time I make it for someone, they're like, they slap so hard. So it's like a Italian sandwich. So with like Italian bread, or you can use like focaccia on either side, with grilled chicken, and then roasted peppers. So you take red peppers and you put them in the oven and let them like get sweet and caramelized. With Dijon mustard, mayonnaise, some spinach, and what else do I put in there? Some garlic. That sandwich, oh my God, changes lives. Every time I make it for someone, they're like, oh, this sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like an Italian chicken sandwich.
Ooh,
but I think
and what chicken grilled.
It, yes.
Ooh.
And what makes it amazing, those peppers. Something about putting the peppers in the oven.
And you believe that this will save your loved one's life. So the person that's, you know, they've got the person and they're like,
yes.
Okay, this sandwich.
That's the one.
That's the one.
That's the one. I have not met a single person that does not like that sandwich.
Wow.
That's the one.
Would you ever do cooking videos?
No. I'm a woman of convenience. I cook when I want to eat something very specific that I can't order.
Yeah.
Or I'm cooking because, oh, I want to try out a new recipe. But I'm not someone who enjoys cooking. When I cook, I do it well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't love cooking.
Yeah,
like, I would rather, like, have someone cook for me or order something or go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cooking videos, if I did it, no, I'm not, no.
Yeah.
I can't say I would really enjoy that.
Yeah,
like, if I did it, it would be a one-off for fun. But something, I'm not dedicated to it.
Yeah, same. Do you know what I find so mad about life, yeah? It's the fact that, like, growing up, it was like, you need to learn how to cook. You need to learn how to cook, Only for them to invent Deliveroo and Uber Eats. Like, who would have known? Like, it's just so baffling. Like, who the hell would have known?
Are
you joking me?
That's
at
funny.
The click of a finger. Like, the other day, I ordered J-Rice, turkey. And then I was saying this to my friend Israel. Basically, they ran out of jollof rice, right? So I ordered two jollof rices for me and my friend. They ran out of jollof.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they were like, oh, can we give you half jollof, half fried rice?
Okay.
Which I don't know why that isn't a thing. I feel like you should go to restaurants and you should be able to do
half and half.
Half and half.
Yeah.
For me, that would be fantastic. Anyway, that's what they did for me. And wow.
It reminds me of weddings. You know, when you get on the plate,
you get the half fried rice. The half the fried, you mix it all up.
I do love that.
God, £11.
I'm jealous of you people who live in London, you know. Because you can order Nigerian food just like that.
Just like that.
In Oxford, no, unfortunately. The closest thing I can get to that is a biryani.
Oh.
Yeah, no J rice for me.
That's really...
They have some J rice in Reading, which is like 50 minutes away, but I'm jealous of you people.
That's really tough. I always forget that you're not from around here.
No, you know? I'm an Oxford girl.
Wow.
What would you cook to save a loved one's life?
You know what? I would cook stew, you know.
Oh, that's rice, good. Okay.
White rice, stew and plantain, the sweet kind.
So your stew is...
You see my stew? That one, I've mastered. It. Yeah, I actually feel like I've mastered it.
Oh.
Like, and I can cook it without even thinking.
Oh.
Yeah, and when
I... fry it? Boil it?
No. So I kind of... It depends on what kind of stew I'm making, actually. Okay. Because there's like... If I make like a chicken stew and I want it to be kind of like thick, but spicy and sweet, I kind of fry it so it's a little bit...
I love
fried stew. Do you know what I mean? It's like a little bit of a... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it kind of depends. If it's like regular stew, I still like fry it a little bit, but it's not as much as the chicken one, yeah.
Okay.
But the chicken one is like not that saucy. It's like... Yeah. You know when you just have the... It's just like the spices are just together and it's like the chicken and the peppers are in there. Yeah, that kind of stew.
Ooh, I need to try your stew. No. You're selling it, Rita.
Yeah. No, my stew's good. You're that one, it. I can cook that one like that. My chicken wings are quite good as well now.
Oh, chicken. Okay, yeah, chicken wings.
Put in an air fryer. Do you know what I mean?
What do you season your wings with?
It's
do you
very
do
like buffalo random.
Or like
barbecue mainly.
Or barbecue.
Yeah,
okay.
I tried like soya.
Oh.
And like when I said this to my friend, they were like giving me the side eye, but. Why? They're suyo like, oh, suyo are wings.
A suyo they're wings. A thing.
Hits.
Yeah.
Are you joking me? I've got the suyo seasoning.
Suyo things are, suyo wings are a thing.
But I haven't been able to like cook for a while. I've just been too busy. And that's why I big up Deliveroo. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm one person. Do you know what I mean? So really
that's
and truly.
The thing. It's not like you have like loads of mouths that need to be fed.
I'm low-key saving money when I order takeaway.
No, I get the logic. No, I get the logic.
Low-key.
If you, like, for example, if I'm cooking for my family, it makes more sense definitely to cook than to order. Because there's like five people involved, right? Mm. But, or four people, I guess, yeah. My brother's has his own family now, so he doesn't count.
How weird is that?
I know.
That must be so
it
weird.
It is weird. I love it, though. I love it. And I love that I have a nephew now who I'm obsessed with. But, let me not count him because he has his own family. But, like, it makes more sense to cook than to order.
Because
it's four mouths. But if it's you on your own, sure, some ingredients are reusable, but also a lot of ingredients expire. Like, it just makes a lot of sense to just order.
Right, Bob's just
your uncle.
Order.
Off you go.
20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just there.
I am a member of Deliveroo Diamond, like the premium.
No, me too.
Oh, where you get cash back when you spend 30
pounds.
Okay, we have a problem.
Yeah, we do have a problem. I am a member. Yeah, I pay monthly.
Yeah, I pay monthly.
Because I'm like, I'm going to order.
Yeah.
Even if I'm ordering groceries, I'm going to order.
Yeah.
Do you know they sell wigs now?
Excuse me?
Yeah. There's actually a wig store on Deliveroo now. And I need to try it. I want to try it.
What?
Just now that my hair's out, I might order it just for bants. I just want to know. And it's like £100.
On Deliveroo?
On Deliveroo. There's a blonde one. There's a black one.
I said Deliveroo London is clearly very different from Deliveroo Oxford. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Is it okay? Is it like a shop? Like, is it like a Pax Deliveroo or something?
No, it's literally, they're a wig. They call themselves like Mia Hair and Beauty Salon or something. It's kind of clever. It's a little bit clever.
It's but also very odd.
It's very odd, but it
who
could
needs
click.
Like a wig on the go?
You might be like, oh, you know, well, salons these days, man.
Okay, fair enough.
That would add on to one of my complaints. Okay. Like, I hate it when they do the whole like, oh, on the 15th we're releasing appointments for the month.
Sis,
I don't know when I want to do my hair.
It's true.
I will wake up one day and be like, okay, I want to do my hair.
Do it, yeah.
But you can't. It's so rare that you can actually do your hair on the day you feel like doing your hair. Back in the days, that wasn't really a thing. But now it's a heavy appointments only. I'm like, please. I don't know in advance.
Yeah. Instagram hairdressers, a lot of them.
Oh, it's too much.
Yes. Yeah,
it's too much. Sometimes you just want the classic.
You just want to walk in.
Walk in.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, guys, you know, I think I want to do a little, you know, do a little treatment, do a little something to my hair. Do you know what I mean? But no, it's just long. I'm just like, please, man. If you were to be kidnapped,
God forbid, yeah.
You will never be kidnapped.
I will never, in Jesus'
name. You never be kidnapped. Hypothetically, though.
If my enemy was to be kidnapped, yeah.
How, what do you think they'll kick you out for? Like, you know, if you were talking about a topic.
Yeah.
And they were like, do you know what? Yeah, just go back. I'm dumb.
You're doing too much. What topic would I talk about?
Yeah, what would you think that you would be talking about so much that it would just be so annoying? They'll be like, please, take this girl.
Let me think. What could I, you know what? It depends. Are my kidnappers lover girls and lover boys or no? Because if they're not, then I'll talk about dating and relationships. Because everyone who is not a lover boy or lover girl hates me talking about dating and relationships.
Because they're like,
oh
again?
My God. They're like, here she is again. Yeah. I'm like, yes, paying the bills. Here I am again, paying the bills. So if they're not a lover boy or lover girl, I'll talk about dating and relationships. Because I don't know what it is. Anti-love people, they just like...
It just irks
foam
them.
At the mouth yeah. when someone talks about love. That's what I'll talk about.
I don't know how someone can be anti-love though.
I guess I get it. It's unfortunate, but I get it.
If you've had
a lot of negative experiences and you think it will never happen for you, then it is very easy to be anti as a means of like cope. I think it's a coping mechanism for a lot of people.
They
don't think it will happen for them. And for that reason, they don't want to hear about it happening for other people. They just don't want to hear about it, period. Which is unfortunate because they need like sympathy and healing more than anything. But yeah, that would be it. What about you? What would get you kicked out if someone was to kidnap your enemy?
I feel like, what would get me kicked out? It'll probably be me talking about, you know, what I believe my past life was. Do you know what I mean? If I was here before, like...
What, do you believe you had a past life?
You know, I actually don't really believe, but I just imagine. You know? Like, I just imagine, like, you know, I think, like, in another world, do you know what I mean? Like, imagine, like, we were born in, like, a different century and we kind of lived before, but just in a completely different world. I would probably, like, talk about that, do you know what I mean? Or like just talk about something really just irritating, you know? Like, why do flies fly the way they do? You know, why is it that, you know, elephants don't talk or do they talk and we don't hear it? Do you know what I mean? What would happen if they did? Do you know what would be really, really scary? What I was really thinking about, yeah? And actually, I think as a society, we should be really careful.
What?
Because really and truly, yeah, if animals decided to turn against us, we are actually cooked. Like,
we're outnumbered. We're screwed.
No, we're actually cooked. Could you imagine, like, if all of a sudden, like, they got like a bat signal and it was like, it's go time. And all of a sudden, dogs, like little cute dogs, suddenly
losing their head.
They lose it and they're against us. We would be cooked. Flyers. Could you imagine?
Think of the mosquitoes.
You would be cooked, especially.
It'd be like, 5,001.
Come on, you. Yeah. Do you know how scary that is? I just had a brand, like, if items, casual items that you don't even think about turn against you, like a sofa, suddenly they have like a sinking thing.
Inanimate objects. We're surrounded by a lot of those.
Bro, we'll be so caught. Do you know how scary that is? Like, when you actually really deep it, I was like, don't ask me why I was even thinking that.
Yeah, that's random. Of all inanimate objects, which one scares you, the potential for harm the most? Like,
potential for harm.
Yeah.
In terms, like an item.
Like if they, if they came alive, which item do you think that would freak you out? Like you'd be like, whoa.
Oh, that's a really hard question, you know. Maybe my bed, you know.
Oh, bed's a good one because we rely on our beds a lot every
day.
That's
a place of safety.
It's a place.
Imagine.
Of comfort.
You go to bed and you're thinking, oh my days, I'm safe. I've had a long day.
Yep.
This is a place of safety for me.
Yep.
And then suddenly,
bam.
Bam, the bed starts shaking. And you're like, what's going on? Is there an earthquake? But nothing else is moving. It's just the bed. And then suddenly the bed just starts
engulfs you.
Engulfs you. And then you're in between the bed. Wow. Imagine you were trapped in a mattress.
That sounds suffocating.
But you don't suffocate.
Oh, you're just trapped eternally.
You're just trapped.
Within your bed. Sounds very, very scary and very weird.
Have I just created the new horror film?
Yeah, I was about to say, trapped in the bed.
Oh my days! Could you imagine?
God, that would, the claustrophobia in me would not enjoy that.
Imagine being trapped in a mattress. The things you would see.
Oh, God forbid,
the things you would hear.
Yes, yeah.
I think that's a movie, low key. I think I've just come up with something
right
there.
Script.
Guys, I think I've just come up with something that is trapped in a bed.
Trapped in the bed.
What item would you be scared of?
Based on your logic about comfort and safety, I think a toilet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like being engulfed by a toilet and then the sewage, the pipes, all that, I think that would be disgusting. So I think if an inanimate object came alive, a toilet would frighten me. And a fridge, because I associate with comfort. Yeah. Imagine you open the fridge, you stick your head in and boom. I know. Killed by the fridge. So fridge, toilet, something about those two. Just
that would be very scary.
Very.
This is such an unserious conversation. Like, this is so unserious, but it's actually really, really scary. Do you know, I've also been thinking about the Olympics. Have you been watching it?
I've watched a few. Yeah. I've watched a few bits. Like, I watched Noah Lyle's races. Mm-hmm. I watched the women's... was it the 200? The lady from St. Lucia won their first gold. Mm. I forgot her name.
I don't remember.
I watched that. I watched a few of the decathlon stuff, some of the diving. But yeah, I've watched a few bits here and there.
Yeah, I'm sad that I'm not in it, you know.
Oh, that you're not in the Olympics?
Yeah.
What sport would you have signed up for? Had you been in the Olympics?
I just think that I wish that, like, I really focused more. You know, I think there were some talents that I had growing up that actually... I could have been in the Olympics.
I think that's true for a lot of people, you know.
I used to run.
Oh, I used to run as well.
Yeah, yeah. I represented my school.
Oh, I did too. Look at
that. Yeah, the 100 metres.
Wasted
talent. I represented my school over 100 metres. If you guys actually Google me, you will see some like articles about things that I accomplished.
That's
and then
amazing.
I just gave up when I did the 200 metre.
Why did you give up when you did the 200?
I wasn't last. But yeah. I was pretty close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And maybe then 100 was your forte, shorter distances.
Yeah. And then also, I used to do the, the throwing thing?
Shot put, javelin?
Javelin,
oh.
I was very good at javelin as well. I was quite the sportsman growing up, actually. It was quite like the envy of a lot of people in school.
Oh, okay. It's
part of the reasons I got bullied.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sometimes people are intimidated by greatness.
They're intimidated by greatness, yeah. So it's one of like those things. But then also what I could have done, and if I had known that this was actually a thing, is the breakdancing.
To be fair, based on Australia's performance, I think we all could have done.
I think it's just outrageous that you can wake up and decide to save yourself. To just be a breakdancer.
That was wild. That was wild.
And just do your thing and wild. Just, do you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's very, 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 very outrageous. Yeah. But that's what I could have done.
No.
I could have been a breakdancer.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Low key, high key, I agree. Yeah. You know what's so funny? I was talking about the Olympics with my mum and my sister, and I said to them, like, okay, you have 4 years between now and the next Olympics to practice every day or as much as you can possibly practice for a sport in the hope you win a medal, right? And if you win a medal, you're given £10 million, even if it's bronze. Mm. So I asked my sister and my mum what they would practice, and they asked me. So being a woman of logic, I said probably shooting, because it's not really a matter of you know, physical ability, youth and whatnot, shooting. But I answered last. My sister, I think she said archery. My mum answered first. Do you know what my mum said?
What did she say?
She said... 4x100 really. I said, so you think at your age, if you...
We love an ambitious queen.
If you practice for 4 years, you can win a medal in a 4x100 relay.
Yeah, Auntie
she
can said, do it.
And to be fair, she was an athlete in school. She was like the fastest girl in her school. I was the fastest in my school, funnily enough, and she was the fastest in her school. So that's who I got it from. Yeah, that's who I got it from. And I had to remind her, I said, Mum, by the time the Olympics come, you'd be even older.
You would have gotten along a little bit.
So you think if you practice between now and 2028, you could get a medal with your team in the 4x100? She said, yeah. I said, okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Very, very good. What's great about you, though, is that I told you a full story and you didn't question it once.
No, but I related to the story, so that's why I didn't question it. Because
I didn't. I couldn't have represented my school. I did. But I only ran like 2 races.
Oh, see, I didn't question it because I represented
my
school.
I said I was bullied because of it. You were like...
No, I feel like I was bullied partially because I was great. So that's the thing. Do you know what I... Do you know the thing, Rita, is people will pick holes in your story if they can't relate. If something seems far-fetched to them, right, then it'll be far-fetched. But I could actually relate to your story. because I was the fastest girl in
you
my
were like,
year.
Yeah, me
no,
too.
Seriously, find people in my year. They'll tell you who was the fastest girl. I was the fastest girl.
So why don't you run now? You don't go running now, do
no,
you?
No, this is what happened. And it's a real shame, actually, because my brother and I always talk about it, because my brother was the fastest in his. We were very athletic. My sister, amazing, same thing. But I think what happened is we went to a school that didn't really appreciate athletics. It was like academia over athletics at the time. Mm-hmm. And even that's fallen off. I don't know what's happened to that school now. But so it wasn't our natural talent wasn't fostered. And then on top of that, having parents that were more focused on academia over athletics. Mm. And then on top of that, I think when I entered sixth form and physical education was no longer compulsory, I just focused on getting into uni. Like, let me do the courses that will help me get into uni. Yeah. And I just kind of left sports entirely. Mm. And I just wasn't keeping up with it. So by the time I started uni, I went to a sports uni as well, Brunel. But sports it wasn't on my mind. And so, like, to be fair, I think I have too much breast to be a runner. To be fair, I don't know how I would have done it.
Nah, it's tea, you know. I saw a girl jogging the other day and I said, wow, I'm no better than a man.
It's like, a hindrance.
Wow,
it's a real hindrance.
Imagine. You probably have to like kind of like get the right bra to really.
So pre-sixth form, it was flying fine because I was like, once the puberty hit and the boobs came, I just, sports was no longer a thing, which is a shame. But I believed you because it's like you were telling my story, Risa. But I did question. The only hole was when you said you were bad at 200 and not 100. Because I feel like if you can do one or you can do the other.
But no, but that part is actually low-key true.
Oh, really?
So I did the 100 and I was actually really like, you know, I was actually really good at it.
Okay.
But I didn't prepare for the 200.
Oh, I see.
That's where it got me.
Okay.
So obviously 100, that's one, you know, even where you start to speed up, innit? It's a different kind of stage.
Okay.
But 200... I just put too much energy right in the beginning.
Oh, I see.
And I just couldn't,
You couldn't maintain it.
Yeah, and I actually did. That's actually a true story. I actually remember the field.
Oh, wow.
And after that, I looked around and I said, oh, okay, never again. You man are never going to catch me here again. I was like, I was embarrassed. I was a bit like, oh, wow, I didn't. But I was like, I'm never doing this again. I was tired.
Really?
I was like.
You gave up.
I just gave up. I was like, this ain't for me anyway. I'm trying to be an actor.
Yeah, it's not for everyone.
Do you know what I mean? But I just couldn't believe when I saw the breakdown. I said, I didn't even know this was a thing. I think pole dancing.
Oh my God,
should be,
I tweeted that.
I think
yes.
It should be a sport.
Have you gone to a class before?
Yeah, once.
Oh,
and I can't
goodness.
Even lift myself on that thing. And
the
they go
core
all the way
strength,
to the, top.
The arm strength, the everywhere strength. It's insane.
It's insane.
Yeah. I agree with you. I actually agree with you.
Insane. What's your poker face like?
I think my poker face isn't great, no.
Oh, it's not great?
No, I'm a nervous laugher. Mm. So when I'm in situations that are awkward, my instinct is to smile or even laugh. Mm. It's not very good.
Let's test it out. I'm going to tell you something.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to just see like how far I can take it. Okay, what can my story be? I don't even know what my story is. I've just thought of this right now on the spot, actually. Okay. I had a really interesting date the other day.
Okay.
It was just incredible. Like, honestly, I'm so sure that this man is in love with me. Okay. So the first thing he did is that he came to my house, right?
Okay.
And he came with like a bunch of flowers and it was just like amazing.
Oh, charming.
But the flowers was like what he like picked up in the garden. So it wasn't like really, so the roots were still on it. But I kind of liked that because it felt like he was saying that that's the root, like our foundation is built in roots. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I saw the roots of where it came from. Do you know what I mean? So he knows where our story has developed from. Do you know what I mean? And then anyways, as we sat down to like have dinner and stuff, he was telling me about his situation, right? And what he was saying is that he has 10 baby mothers, right? Which for me, I was like, that's quite light, really. And that tells me that he's a guy that likes to plant his seed. And again, it goes back to the flowers. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously the flowers, the seeds, bringing it up. Do you know what I mean? So your face.
It's the 10 baby mothers for me.
Your face was like.
I'm just fascinated by where this is going.
Even I didn't know where it was going. I was really trying to take it somewhere, but your
it was the planting his seed and 10 baby mothers and planting the his metaphor and the flower, the root.
I think you could survive. Yeah, wow. Your face. You looked like you were intrigued that you would have given me great advice regards to that. Yeah,
you looked. I was ready. I forgot this was a made up story. I was ready to give you a piece of my mind as my friend reader, but I almost forgot it was a made up story.
Could you imagine your friend actually does come to you and tell you, I've met someone and this is their situation, and I just feel like for me it's fine. Like,
yeah, I mean, I've been in situations before when my friends have met people and described them and I've just been like, no, absolutely not. I'm sorry, no.
Do you tell them like, no, wrap it up?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And it doesn't always go down well. Mm. Especially if they really like someone.
That's the thing, isn't it?
But my thing is, I pride myself in being the friend that really wants great outcomes for her friends, especially when it comes to love and relationships.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So if I sense something or hear something or I'm told something that raises alarm bells, I'm going to say it. Now, that doesn't mean you have to take my advice or you have to do what I think is best, because at the end of the day, my friends are all adults. They have their own lives, right?
Yeah,
but
that's the thing.
I need to be a friend to you and tell you
the truth.
The truth about what I think. The same way I would hope that if I was in like a bad situation or bad relationship, my friends would be like, Tony, what are you doing?
Yeah,
it would be sad if they just left me to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have to, I would definitely say something. I'd be like, babe, excuse me, what are you thinking? Really?
Yeah.
This is who you want to choose?
Bruh, you have to like do it in such a way that it's like, especially like if it's like a friend who hasn't like had like a really good experience for a long time, for example, or maybe they haven't been dating for ages and then they meet someone.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my days, I'm so excited. I met this guy. Da, da, da. But you're just hearing some holes and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he never ever texts me. He texts me once a week. And you're like, oh. But he doesn't call you either? No. Oh. He never plans the dates. I always have to plan it. It's like,
yeah, you have to give the advice in a sweet way. I've actually been told off before by a friend for being too blunt.
Really?
Yeah. So after that, I said, okay, you know what? I can see how that can come across, like me sharing advice in a very black and white way.
Yeah.
Like if you're someone who likes black and white advice, like my sister, for example, like we're part of the same family, we talk in a similar way.
Yeah.
I can tell her straight, no, like this person is terrible. Please do not do this.
Yeah.
But say I have a friend who doesn't really have that kind of dialogue with other friends or family. They want to receive information in a softer way.
Yeah.
So after that advice, now I'm very like aware of people's differences. Mm-hmm. So I will say the same thing, but in two different ways to two different people. Yeah. Like with my sister, I can be like, are you nuts?
Yeah.
No way in hell.
Yeah.
This is terrible. And this is why.
Yeah.
X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
With other friends, I might be like, I love to ask questions.
That's what you have to do. You have to, so do you think that this is a good idea?
If your sister was with a guy like that, would you be fine with it?
Would you be fine with it? How would that be for you?
Do you think that was a reflection of him caring, or what do you think might have caused him to do that? Because then that it gets them like, to reflect, and they answer the question for themselves without you being the bad guy, right? That's my new technique.
No one wants to be the bad guy, because you know the worst thing is when you are the bad guy. Yeah. Now they get back with that person, you're cooked. You're actually cooked. Like, if you really, like, say your heart about something, I mean, to be fair, though, I've said to my friends, look, I'm your safe friend, I'm going to tell you that this isn't good, but you already know this. Like, you already know this isn't great. The situation is awful. You know. We know. We're talking about it, right? If you now decide that for you, maybe it's not that bad anymore.
Yeah.
You've marinated in it and you're good. Okay. I'm your friend that you can still come back to.
Yes,
I never want you to feel like, oh, because I've said how much I hate your lover, you can never come back.
I agree.
Come back, okay? Come back home. Tell me about this lover that I now hate. We can pretend that we're okay. Do you know what I mean? I will actually, not even pretend, I will actually, look, if you're good, I'm good. Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree. That's exactly how I am.
Yeah.
I've had friends that have like, talked to me about a person and I'm like, no, because of this.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they rekindle or they still want to be with them. And I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, I want you to be happy. I'm going to support you regardless.
This is
but yeah, let me just support you through this. And then best believe when they mess up again, because they always do. I'm a great judge of character. If they're good, they're good. If they're bad, they're bad. I'm just saying. But when they do, I'll just be like, oh, man, guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
And I'll let them vent to me without being the I told you so person.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, that I told you so.
Yeah, no, that, does, that doesn't help. Like,
yeah,
that
doesn't, help. It doesn't help anyone.
Yeah.
But I kind of, it's hard though. You know when you were right about something?
You don't have to tell me, Rita.
And you're like, okay, but I know this. Yeah. But I told you.
Yeah.
And you want to, it sweets you when you like, I was right. Yeah. But then it's like, I like it when they're like, and you were right. And I'm like, let's not talk about it.
Exactly. And what you just said is key. Like, it sweets you. Yeah. So you have to ask yourself, you know what, in expressing this or saying this or making it clear that I was right, mm-hmm. who does that actually benefit? Like, it doesn't help them in this situation. And they already know it. Like, your friends know it. When they give you advice or you give them advice, they don't take it. Yeah. And then everything happens how you said mm-hmm. it would happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
They already know. They but know they the don't. Vibes. Yeah, they don't need that. And it's the same with, like, me and, like, my relationship with parents, for example. Like, when I was growing up, my mom might have said something. And then it happened how she said it would happen or my dad or whatever. And I didn't need the I told you so because it didn't help. So I just have to remember that. Like, it just doesn't help. In my spirit, I can live knowing that. I knew what I was talking about.
Or my journal, today was a great day. I won.
Another day of being right.
Another day of being right. literally. My next point is this. Who is Tony?
Who is Tony?
Yeah, who is Tony? Do you know what I mean? I feel like, you know, you're the internet sister. People, they think that they know you. Do you know what I mean?
They do.
But who is Tony?
It depends on who you ask. Because Tony is different to different people.
But who is Tony to Tony? How would you describe who you are?
Good question. I like this question. I would describe myself as someone who is very well-rounded, who is... without picking myself up too much, gifted at many things. I feel like I'm a jack of all trades and master at none, to be honest. I feel like I'm one of these people who can apply myself in many different ways. Mm-hmm. So if you tell me do this, I will find a way to do it, right? And it'll be good. It might not be the best,
but
it'll
be good.
I feel like I am intelligent, but I also feel like sometimes I need to curb myself. I can be quite opinionated and it's helped me with my job, but sometimes I need to like curb it. I know that there's a time and a place and it's not everyone you have to give your opinions to, you know. I feel like I'm friendly and I'm very pleasant. I'm rarely in a mood. That's one thing I love about me. Like, I'm rarely someone who's moody. Like, I might not be having the best day. I might not even be feeling great physically, but I don't change the vibe. Like, it's either I'm just adding to what's already existing, or I'm making things better. Like, I'm a very pleasant person.
Oh, yes, you are.
Yeah, very pleasant, but I'm also very petty. I'm very petty. And I have to curb that as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, when people get on the wrong side of me, I can be quite historically, like, petty. I hate the word vindictive because it sounds so evil.
Vindictive.
But in the sense that, like, if someone hurts me, then it's like, I'll show you. Oh, you're going to regret doing that, right?
Interesting.
Not in a way that necessarily compromises my life or character, because I'm very big on that, but in a way that, like, could hurt them or hurt their feelings. So I have to actively fight the urge to be like, you'll see, you know? And, so I can be quite petty. But overall, I would say that very well-rounded. Very caring, especially of my inner circle. I'm not going to lie. Like, my focus is very much on the people that mean a lot to me. Very family orientated.
Yeah.
Talented, but also, I can be a little petty boots. I can be. I know that. That's one of my flaws I need to work on. But yeah, I would say that's who I am. Yeah, that is who I am. And a lover of love. I am.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that, like, you didn't mention what you do.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people, when you ask them, oh, who am I? It's like, oh, yeah, so I'm an actor, or I'm this and I'm that. And it's like, sometimes we get so attached to, like,
our job,
as opposed to, like, I love that you just said the characteristics that you have, that you're caring, family orientated. Yeah, I'm petty, but you know that you can be petty.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, really, like, self-aware, like, intelligent. And also, like, I feel like it's important as women to be able to say out loud that I am intelligent. And I am these things, and I am talented. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like society has conditioned us to kind of play it down a little bit. Do you know what I mean? And be like, I think I can be intelligent sometimes. And I agree, Rita.
You've hit the nail on the head. I'm an advocate. And one thing I don't shy away from, and I know that this might even rub people the wrong way, but I don't shy away from bigging myself up at all.
Yeah.
Like, I do not play down my achievements. Mm. I do not play down who I am, what I have. Like, I don't play it down.
Yeah.
If anything, I would shout about it, right? Yeah. And I feel like that's how I even end up attracting more good to my life, because I'm loud and proud about it. But I'll never be the kind of person who's like, well, I think I did this and some people call me smart. And I'm brilliant in so many ways. I am brilliant. And I have no issues saying that.
Yeah.
And it's normal when we hear it coming from a man. But when a woman says it, it's very much be humble. Everyone wants you to be humble. You should try and be meek. Try and be humble. But no,
humble
like
what?
If you're good at something, if you have great characteristics, like, why do you need to like play it down and dim your light? Like, shout about it. It's really, no one's gonna die. It's okay.
It's okay.
And you're gonna attract people who celebrate you.
Exactly, exactly. And I feel like for the hardest time for me, I found it difficult to like shout about what I do.
Really?
Only because I feel like I used to like achieving things by accident.
Really?
Which sounds really strange. Like, you know, if like, you know, I'm successful at something, it felt, there was something about it, about me not like planning it, that made it feel like, oh, by chance, I'm just really good at this. Or by chance, I'm really good at that, right? But there was just something about aiming to be good at something and then the idea of me not being as good or not living up to what I say I am.
Oh, so a fear of failure.
Yeah, so then that would make me pull back. So it's like, oh yeah, I'm a great podcaster. Do you know what I mean? Like, saying that would feel like, oh, but now I really have to be. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. As opposed to like saying, yeah, I'm just trying out this podcast thing and like, you know what, like hopefully like it will work and it'll be good. And then now the person's like, no, but you're great at it. And there was like a lot of like reaching to others to like affirm me about what I'm good at. Do you know what I mean? So like for a long time, even before getting into content creation, it was very much like I would want someone else to see that thing in me to be like, no, Rita, you should be creating content, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, Rita, you're really funny. You should be doing this. As opposed to like me being like, I'm really funny.
Do you believe it now?
I think now I'm at the stage where I'm like, nah. So I'm putting my, you know, like even starting this and other stuff I'm working on, it's very much like, nah, I think I'm quite good at this.
You are very great. You know what I'm saying? Hilarious.
Thank you very much.
You are hilarious.
So I'm like, I'm going to do this. Do you know what I mean?
I love that.
So it's really like I guess it's just that growth, isn't it, of you just being like bold enough to just.
Yeah.
And I think Americans do it really well.
That's one thing about America that I do appreciate. I think that, I mean, everyone, like imposter syndrome is a universal thing. It's a universal issue. But I do think there are some countries that encourage imposter syndrome in people more than others.
Yeah.
And America is definitely one of those places that is quite the opposite.
Yeah.
Like they, Americans are quite proud people and they're quite ambitious people.
Mm.
But they're also quite confident people, like outwardly confident, right? And you can have a quiet confidence as well, don't get me wrong. But America encourages people to shout about their greatness, in my opinion.
100%.
Whereas the British way of being is
to do too much.
Be poised.
Poised.
Be reserved, you know.
Reserved.
And I think that there's a time and a place for that.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, you need to encourage people to not only see the good in themselves, but be able to shout about the good in themselves. Because the more you shout about it, the more you believe it.
Exactly.
Like sometimes I gas myself up because I need that personal encouragement.
Yeah.
Like what you said about sometimes going to other people for that like validation to reinforce these beliefs that you're kind of like not paying attention to.
Yeah.
If you can't do it for yourself, who can do it for you? So sometimes you just need to gas yourself up.
That's what I learned. It's annoying because I did learn this late.
Yeah.
But I was constantly looking for people to affirm me, right? But the thing is, people cannot give you what you can't see for yourself. Of course, people will see that, oh, you're really talented. Or, yeah, Tony, you've got a way with words. But if you can't see, like, what you're good at, no one can help you. You're never going to move forward. So I felt like it was, like, a form of waiting to be saved. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Constantly, like, in this space of, like, oh, I need someone to save me. I need someone to save me. Until it was like, I'm going to save myself. Like, actually.
Bingo. That is
you know what I'm saying? But I learned that quite later on in my life, I would say. Like, I'll definitely say, like, very late 20s into my 30s. That's when it came. Maybe in my 30s, really.
I can relate to that, though.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Of really, like, actually, no, I'm going to save myself. Like, yes. I know what's been placed in me, and I'm just going to go for it, and I'm just going to try my best with it, and we're going to see what happens. But we're going to be intentional with not just, oh, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Whatever will be, will be.
No, but what you've said is so important, and I've written about that before, that a lot of, we raise a lot of young women in particular to think that they have to wait on a savior. If it's not Prince Charming, it's someone else, but someone is going to play a role in their life that moves them onto the next level, that helps them to progress. And that's not to say like we can't all use help and people help us in our journeys. Yeah. Like people have definitely helped me, but fundamentally you need to, like, we need to, as a society anyway, to start teaching little girls that comes from within, because I think boys are taught that at quite early age.
I think so, yeah.
That they are their own savior.
Yeah. And we're taught, oh, someone's going to save us.
Yeah, someone's going to save us. Someone's going to rescue you. One day you'll meet a man and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and one day this will happen and picket fence. And no, you can live the life of your dreams without having someone be a bridge or having someone be a rescuer or a hero in your story. You can be your own hero.
Be your own hero.
Yeah.
That's the tea.
We can be.
Be your own hero. You're very wise.
Thank you.
You're very wise. And we know that though. What is something about you that people don't know? Like, what's a side of you that people actually don't ever get to see?
I can be very playful and very silly.
Yeah, I know.
But
that about
I think. Yeah, you know that about me. Yeah. But I think people don't know that unless they know me personally and they know me well enough. Mm-hmm. I think like that is an element of myself. Like I show to a degree sometimes in certain content, you might see it. But if you're not a close friend, if you're not a family member, if you're not my partner, if you're not a sibling, like you may easily think that I'm quite serious all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, I could be very silly, like, especially around my siblings. If you saw me around my siblings, you'd be like, wait.
What is going on?
Like, this is totally, I'm so confused. Like, I will revert into like a childlike state, or even around like my partner. There's sometimes where I just want to be annoying, and just be silly and goofy and just playful.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't know that about me. And to be fair, I could showcase that more.
Yeah, because that's my next question. Like, why? Like, is there a reason why you decided to not like show that side?
I think because I already show people a lot, right? And people are of the assumption that they know a lot about me because they seem to see it a lot. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand that whatever I share with discernment. You've seen it because I want you to see it. Mm. You're talking about it because I want you to talk about it, right? Yeah. And I guess not showing those elements of myself is that it's like another piece of self-preservation in that you guys know me, but you don't know me.
Yeah, something to keep for yourself.
Yeah, like that's the people that know me see that.
Yeah.
You guys don't really know me and you'll never know me fully or that part of me. You can see snippets of it, but you'll never get the true essence because I want to reserve some of myself for the people I really love, right? And I think it's nice that my sister can say, oh, you guys don't know Tony like that. Or my partner or my brother, they don't really know you for real. I think it's nice that they have that element. And it also, like, people also bring that side out of me.
If
I'm not having that, like, fun conversation with you, online, a lot of the time I'm giving advice.
Yeah, this is the thing.
So, it doesn't really create that environment.
Now be doing up banter, all of that kind of stuff. Because then you're coming on, this is serious. This is your life.
Yeah.
Trying to help you.
Change the world.
Trying to help you change the world. There's nothing to joke about here. This is real. Like, do you know, one of the first times when I realised that you had, because obviously I've known you for like years, but I feel like it was one of your birthdays, I feel like.
Oh, I know, it's birthday.
And I was like, there's this other side, like, do you know what I mean? Where it's just like fun and like, I know you to be fun. We have conversations and all that kind of stuff. But I do specifically remember that birthday. Yeah. It was such a great, with the car park, dancing, playing music.
I really let my hair down.
That was a fun birthday. And I was like, Tony has this other side as well.
Yeah, I'll be turning up.
Turning up in America. Having a good time. Even when I saw you in America, I was cracking up. I remember the first time when you went to Houston and I saw you in the club back to back. I said, Tony.
Oh, I was out. No, but that, oh my God, that trip, I was knackered though. Bloody hell.
I said, what? You were in there one day and the next day, I said, wow, Tony.
By the end of that first week, the migraine I had, I remember because my fiance now, but boyfriend at the time, he wanted me to get
my fiance.
He wanted me to get like a full on Houston experience. Mm-hmm. And Houston is great for food. And obviously there's like a nightlife scene there. So we were literally every other night or every night club hopping, going out and about. Mm. And after about 3-4 days, I remember just being like, it's enough. I remember one day he had me in one club now.
I was tired.
I was just there like holding my head and he was trying to introduce me to his friends. I was thinking, I hope these people don't think I'm rude. I'm just so tired. Aww. We were outside. And it's funny because it's such an opposite to how we do Houston now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like getting it out of my system, the first time I came, he was like, I'm going to take you here. I'm going to take you to Turkey Leg Hut, O2 Lounge. I'm going to take you to all these different places. And now it's like, can we stay in?
Let's rest.
Let's order jollof on DoorDash, please. Let's rest. Let's stay inside. Let's go to cinema. Let's just stay indoors.
Yeah, yeah.
And like people invite us out and we just look at each other like, let's just stay inside.
Yeah,
but in
the
beginning, it was all like, new and flashy.
Let's get lit. Let's go.
Yes.
Yeah.
When like people come to Houston, like my sister came to Houston at the beginning of the year. So I was outside because I was trying to do what he did for me.
I was trying to do it for her. Yeah, yeah.
But now I'm just like, been there, seen that, done that.
Well, when I come, you'll have to do the same thing.
Now, you will love Houston.
I know, you did tell me this before.
You will love Houston,
you did tell
me
this. I need to go. I don't know why. This year has just been grind, man. I've just said, look, I got to get my life together. Do you know what I mean? It's been focus.
Get your life together? Is it in pandemonium?
Bro, every day I say I'm getting my life together. One day I have to say it's together. Like, I'll wake up on a Sunday and be like, woo, I need to get my life together.
To be fair, I don't think we'll ever get our life together.
I feel like constantly there's always something. There's always going to be something.
I agree.
Something to do. But I feel like for me, there's just these like core things that I just have felt that I need to just get right. You know,
I've spoken about this before actually,
but very much I feel like I've spent a lot of my life very much like, oh, I want to do this, but I got to be careful just in case I meet my husband and just in case. So everything was very much with a... Just in case, like really like being on
held
edge.
Held yourself back.
Yeah, subconsciously of this edge of like, just in case. So this year I was like, okay, we're already here in our 30s, okay? Mm. I cannot avoid the fact that I'm on the side of I'm going to meet my person and I'm late. I'm quote unquote on the quote unquote late side, right? Yeah. So quote unquote, that's where I'm at, right? But I'm just like, now let me chill.
Yeah.
Let me just focus.
Yeah.
It will happen when it's going to happen. I can't keep chasing this.
And also, the person that is your person will be drawn to you being your authentic self.
Mm.
Because I could have easy. I think, like, I had a lot of that thinking in my early 20s where I was like, oh, let me be proper little princess because, you know, what if I meet my husband?
Yeah.
And then when life, however it did, and I was just like, you know what, screw it. You're going to get what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, being online, especially like on Twitter, being very vocal about certain things, especially men and behaviors in men that I don't necessarily like or agree with, and dating. And it was very easy for me to have been like, oh, maybe I shouldn't say this because I put off maybe. But it was that same content that I could have held back on that brought me to my husband.
Mm.
Because my fiance now knew of me because he effed with my content. Knew of me because he bought my book. If I never did that because I was like, oh, let me not upset the men and get on the road, because there were a lot of men that weren't happy with my content in the beginning. Let me not upset the men in case I put off guys and no one wants to date me. I said, screw that. And then the guy I met wanted me because I was being me. So I think, like,
that's
ironically, the person you end up with is going to love you and want you because he sees you living authentically, and he's drawn to that, and he's like, wow, this woman, she's hilarious, she's beautiful, like she's got this like great creative mind and spirit, like I really like her. And the very thing that you found yourself potentially holding back with will be the thing that puts you in their eye line, ironically. Like, that's life. It's weird like that.
That was just so nice what you said to me just then. It felt just, you know,
but it's true though.
It was just so nice. Whoever, if my guy is listening right now, please just rewind and copy and write down exactly what Tony just said to me, because that was very romantic.
That is hilarious. Okay?
You were like intelligent, and but you're right though. Like
true,
it is,
yeah.
And it's, you know what's really interesting? Like, and I wonder how you did feel about this, because obviously now I've started dating again.
Yeah.
Obviously dating from a place of like having some visibility. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
People recognizing you.
And they already, so a lot of the guys already know me
yeah.
before I know them.
Yeah.
A part of that I don't like, because I kind of feel like you've kind of got like a head. Yeah. Do you get it? Like, you feel like you have, you know, and now I'm giving them even more stuff to study me on. Like, they've got the podcast. And,
yeah, they're just be listening. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it was interesting that you were saying that, like, obviously with your fiance, he literally, you know, bought your book mm-hmm. and, like, followed you on mm-hmm. IG. And I'm presuming maybe he followed you on Twitter as well or saw your tweets. Yep. Yeah. How did that actually, like, make you feel the fact that, like, he kind of just knew all of this about you and now he's talking to you, mm-hmm. but it's like, was there ever a part of you that felt like, are you saying what you're saying to me
yeah.
based on, like, I put so much out there about what I expect yeah. and, like, what I'm about and who I am without yeah. you really having to, obviously he's gotten to know you more, yeah. but he already had, you know what I'm saying? It's like
he had
package.
Like a blueprint.
Yeah, there was yes. a blueprint for
that's
him
a really
to,
good question.
Like, how did that actually make you feel initially? And maybe for him it felt one way, yeah. but how did it feel when it was other guys? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how did that approach, like, feel?
So, interestingly, in the beginning, it was more positive than negative. I actually found it refreshing because I was so used to men being anti my content and anti my brand that when I came across a guy who loved what I did, I was like, this is refreshing. You wow. must have sense. Because my thing is, like, I have a lot, don't get me wrong, I have a lot of men that do like my content and F with my content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I personally believe if you don't like it, it's because the shoe fits, right? Mm. No, but it's true.
Yeah,
too. Right? And if you like it, it's because the shoe doesn't fit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I knew that he was reposting my tweets on his page for years and he had bought my book, I was like, yes, I love this because this tells me you align with my values, you align with my frame of thought and my thinking. Mm. So I didn't even consider the blueprint. That's why I say this is a good question. It didn't even come to my mind.
That's so interesting.
And I think speaking to him, there was an element of, like, authenticity. Like, he came across so genuine from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I just had complete faith in who he was. But then I guess further down the line, I didn't worry because having the opportunity to speak to his friends and go through, like, his old posts, I was like, oh, shiznit. You actually been thinking like this before. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, say I wrote a tweet in 2021 about loyalty or men not displaying toxic masculinity or something like that, then I'll go on his, like, Instagram or Facebook or his highlights and I'll see in 2019 he said almost a similar thing.
Wow.
Or, like, I'll see that, like, basically even before I've shared certain mm-hmm. thoughts, he yeah. had been saying things a lot along the
yeah,
same
yeah,
line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then speaking to friends and speaking to family, like, his guy friends, they used to, like, even... Well, I don't know. Am I allowed to say this? But some of them even used to tease him back in the day and call mm-hmm. him the unicorn because he was, like, in the group. He was known for being, like, not the goody two shoes, but he basically lived his life a certain way mm-hmm. and navigated life with a certain frame of mind. Mm-hmm. And some of his friends were like, this guy, man. You know when you have that friend that's...
You're so different. Yeah, like, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You try and be more one of the bros, right?
Yeah.
And they used to make fun, like, oh, I wonder who's going to end up with Mr. Picky over there. Oh. Mr. Picky over there. And so...
Look at who he ended up with.
Well, wow.
Thank
you. That's so sweet. But having spoken to his friends, I'm like, okay, so this is who you are.
That's interesting.
This is who you are. And then ironically getting to know him and being like, oh, and I've said this before in other, like, podcasts, are you nicer than me? Mm. Like, are you kinder than me? Like,
yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and what's mad is, like, on one hand, I guess you could say that there was an element of blueprint, but having gotten to know him, I'm like, wow, if this relationship was a matter of halves, you are the better half in so many different ways. That's not to say I bring my own, because I'd be bringing my own. But he's so kind and so lovely and so genuine and so sweet and shows people so much grace and has so much empathy. And I'm just like, this is you. This is you. Like, this is genuinely you. And I'm like, bruh, I always say to him, you should write a book for the man. I'm like, you should write a book.
Wow.
But yeah, no, that didn't even cross my mind. But technically, I guess that's something women should consider and potentially be wary of.
I mean,
do you worry about that?
Yeah, a little bit. But a side of me is like, might also be like just the avoidant in me a little bit, you know? Like,
oh, is that your attachment style?
Do you know what? Funny enough, I never thought it was, really. I've always felt like I'm quite anxious,
okay.
which I am. I can get quite anxious. But I've noticed, since I've started dating again, I've actually noticed that I am quite avoidant.
Really? In what ways?
You know, I think I'm just very much used to, like, going for guys who don't necessarily tell me how much they like me or tell me that they like me. But I'm always like, I'm in this. So it feels like, I guess when I was younger, it felt like it was butterflies of like, oh, I don't know, like just this feeling. Man. But actually, as I've gotten older, I'm like, this isn't butterflies. This is anxiety. And you're getting anxiety because you don't know what's happening. Wow. But there's something about not knowing what's happening that still somehow locks me in. Not
keeps you on your toes.
And keeps me in it. But I don't actually like it. Like as a person, I actually don't like it. But my subconscious is so used to it. And then when I meet a guy that's very... I mean, now it's not as bad. I meet a guy that's like, I really like you, da, 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 da. I have to, like, challenge my thoughts. And that's been, like, my theme of, like, the past couple of months of, like, challenge your thoughts. Like, why are you feeling that you don't want to pick up this guy's call because you're watching
because
the show?
Because he likes you.
Yeah, because...
Can I psychoanalyze you for a second?
Oh, she said psychoanalyze.
No, I'm just thinking of something you said earlier. Mm. I want to psychoanalyze you because I feel like, you know how you said with your career, you... There was a stage where you needed other people to affirm things to you or validate things to you. And you couldn't yourself say, I'm great at this or I'm fantastic at this. And you needed other people to like push you into believing that. Mm. Could it be that there's an element of that in dating whereby when you meet a guy who is emotionally unavailable, your subconscious wants you to prove or validate or affirm the importance of yourself in his life, or when he likes you straight away, it's almost like the mirror of your career beliefs, like, oh, if I believe I'm good, then it's not real. Or, oh, if he likes me straight away, then, oh, I haven't had to work for it. Like it's too easy. But if there's a challenge and it's not so intentional and then it happens, one, the fear of failure is reduced because it didn't start strong from the beginning, but also he's affirmed something to me. So when you meet this emotionally unavailable guy, as an example, because he hasn't asserted straight away that I really like you, I want to be intentional. If it doesn't work out, you could be like, well, whatever, it wasn't what it was. But then also at the same time, if it does work out, you can be like, wow, look at you validating. I got you to change your mind. I got you to care for me. Look at me validating. Now you've affirmed that, oh, yeah, like I am this person to you. Yeah. So maybe it's that. Like I think you just need to believe in your source from the beginning. Like
100%.
The man you... Sorry to be preaching and giving you advice.
Okay.
The man...
I've gone from therapist to now preacher.
No, but like what you said... about like a guy liking you from the beginning and you being like, and having to challenge yourself to like want to talk to him and want to pick up his cord. I'm so proud of you for even having the thought to challenge yourself, because the kind of men that we should want to be with are the men who recognize our value from the beginning, not the people that you have to convince into seeing your value. And if someone recognizes your value from the very start, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you also want to be with someone who has like the emotional capacity to be intentional from the beginning, not someone you have to prompt and push to be intentional. If they see you, they like you, they want to talk to you, they're all in. Mm. Those are the men that you have happy relationships with more than any other type of men.
Yeah.
So it's good that you're challenging your thoughts, because that's where it's at, you know, that's where the fun is. Where the fun is.
Yeah, that was deep. That was deep. That was actually really deep, because I think it's actually, I think it's true. And that's why I'm really having to like challenge it.
Yeah.
And you know, as you get older, there's certain things that's embedded in you.
Yeah.
You know, it's certain things you're used to. And it's like, you have to challenge it and be like, even just having this kind of conversation, do you know what I mean? It's allowed me to challenge that thought and be like, actually, because I feel like things about, you know, things in the career, it does spill into your personal life
Definitely.
So it actually would make sense. And also I was thinking about like growing up, there's this element of like having to prove yourself and prove your worth. Even like, you know, your parents are proud of you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like by default, you know that they're proud of you and they want to see you win. But I feel like growing up, there was this like thing in me of like, I want to impress
show them,
you.
Yeah.
I want to show you. And I think elements of that also can spill over into adult life, where you feel like for someone to like you, that what am I offering you for you to actually like me, as opposed to just believing that you're a great person. Of course he likes you. Yeah. Why would he not like you?
Exactly.
But there's an element of like, I've got to do this in order for him to like me and to prove my value. And it's just so deep. There's just so many layers. And that's why I'm just glad that as an adult, I'm really challenging those thoughts.
That's so good. And it's better late than never.
It's better late than never.
And apparently, like, I was listening to a podcast, like, about a month ago. And on the podcast, it was, I think it was Stephen Bartlett's. And there was a lady there who was, like, a dating coach or something like that. I forgot her name now. But they were talking about how the dating pool feels like trash because it's made up of a lot of anxious and avoidant people, because a lot of the secure people have already settled down, right?
They've all settled down, yeah.
It talked about that anxious avoidant cycle, and that anxious people tend to find themselves gravitating to avoidance and avoidance to anxious.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, you have this person who, like, is really desiring love and wants to prove their value to someone. Mm-hmm. And then you have this avoidant who is unsure about love, but wants someone else who will be willing to make more effort to meet them, like, in the middle.
Yeah.
And then they end up often together, and it's one person who's loving hard and the other person avoiding the love.
Yeah.
And the other person thinks, like, let me prove it to you. It's a constant anxious circle.
It's crazy. I spoke about this before, actually, the book Attached.
Yes, Attached.
So I've been telling the guys on this podcast to get that book, man, because it actually really, like, gets into deep of to what you said of that, this cycle. And it's like, we got to break the cycle, guys.
Okay. Yes.
Break the cycle. It's too much.
So we can be like,
show them your ring. Let's show them the ring. Oh. So they can see what happens. See when you break the cycle. Yeah. This is what can happen if this is what you want for yourself, okay?
Yeah, this was the result of breaking cycles, to
this
be fair.
This is the result, exactly.
To be fair, it was the result of breaking cycles,
You got to break those chains. Amen. Those cycles, okay? Because it's not good. It really just holds us back.
It does.
And it's hard.
It's, like, not easy.
It's not easy. It takes, like, I know, like, for you, you've spoken about this before, like, you literally took a year out of just, like...
No dating, no nothing.
No nothing. So you could really... You know, center yourself and be like, okay, this is what I want, you know, I've got to focus on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think I should have done that a long time ago. You know, when you were doing
it's never too late. That's when you should have joined me.
I remember when you told us you were doing it, I was like,
I was like, 2021.
Yeah, I was like, okay, sure, good luck. If only I had known, I should have joined you.
Another day of being right.
Joined you.
Then it's never too late.
It's never too late.
But to be fair, like, that was an extreme, extreme scenario. And in 2021, how old was I? I would have been 33. So, and I was taking a year out of dating, and I didn't have time to waste as someone who wanted to start a family soon.
Yeah,
like, you can take as long as you want in life when it comes to dating. But if you're eager to start a family, then there's certain things you have to consider. Yeah. So, like, would I advise that? I think not necessarily. I honestly believe you can. People are like, you need to heal before you date. Heal before you date. I think you can do both simultaneously.
I believe that as well. Yeah.
And sometimes good relationships will help to heal you. You shouldn't go into a relationship or look to someone else to heal you. But sometimes it's a byproduct.
Yeah.
Like, even the relationship I'm in now, when I entered the relationship, I saw myself as a very whole person who had great attributes, very well-rounded, and being in the relationship has taught me that, oh, I still have a lot I need to work on. Like, even just the other day, I remember having a dispute with someone and my partner being like, Tony, you have a habit, I'm saying this out of love, you have a habit when you are annoyed with someone, again, this is the pettiness, where you just want to detach. You just want to cut them out completely, detach, and just... You don't want to be, he said, I'm not saying you're in the wrong, because you're not. But sometimes you have to be willing to extend grace, and you have to be willing to be the bigger person. I feel like sometimes you don't necessarily want to do that. And I was like, oh, crap. You're right.
Yeah,
petty. I don't want to do that.
Especially
if I feel like I'm the one who's been disrespected. And then that scenario made me think, okay, I need to do a better job. So even within a relationship, you can find yourself being better. So I don't think you necessarily need to take a year out. But as you're dating, it's about, like, mentally documenting, or even physically documenting, like, habits, things you value, how dates made you feel. If you have the ick, why? What might be contributing to that? If you like someone, why? Have they actually done anything to earn that kind of, like in you, earn that affection? Like, it's about documenting and just assessing, like, oh, why do I like this person? What has he actually done to make me like him? Oh, why do I dislike this person? What has he done to actually make me dislike him? How did I feel after this date? What are the attributes in him that I really like? Like, those little things make such a difference.
See what you just said, you've said, like, a couple things. What I love, though, that you're, I feel like when people see you, Yeah. For me, you just come across as perfect, and I know you. I just find you just so like well-rounded, dry, mean, wise, and you just know everything. But I love that you're able to be like this. I've got this petty side.
Oh yeah, no, I have a lot of issues.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But do you know what I mean though? Like it's just so easy. Like especially like when you're visible and you're online, and like even like when you're friends with someone, it's like it's so easy to be like. But I feel like that's what makes people even more amazing. Like just being able to be self-aware. Because there's some things I do, and I'm like, Rita, but why did you do that? Do you know what I mean? Like, what was the reason? But another thing that you said I loved was like, when you think you like someone, ask yourself why.
That is so important.
Because it's like, sometimes me, I be getting crushes all. I love a crush.
Yeah, you be getting crushes. You're like my bestie. She loves a crush.
Oh, I love a crush. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm alive now. I've got a crush on someone. Let's go. Let's explore what this crush is.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, I'm like, okay, why do I actually like this person? Like, what has this person actually done for me to actually like them?
Yeah.
Like, have they shown anything that's in the romantic realm of things? Or are they just a nice person?
Yeah.
And I'm taking this, they're a kind person, and I'm now taking it as, okay, now this is a reason to, oh, I like them, there's something there. And it's like learning that not every man I meet, and to be honest, I am quite, it's not every guy I connect with anyways. Yeah. But knowing that, like, some guys, they are, some people come into your life and they're there to, like, help you get to the next stage of your life, right? They might be, like, you know, they're destiny helpers, right? And then you've got some people who they're going to be a great friend.
Yeah.
And then you've got the one that's your lover that's going to be your partner.
Yeah.
But not every man that comes has to be, you're my lover.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So really just figuring out, okay, why is this man in my life? Yeah. Like, although I don't want any more male friends, it's actually enough. I've got
a lot of male friends?
Yeah, it's enough. Okay, let's wrap it
really?
Up. Kilo dears, too much. But I do love that I have great male friends.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's been like, why do you like this person? When it's gone beyond the crush, it's like, okay, what have they actually done? And sometimes you will sit and be like, I've been the one carrying this.
Do you know what that reminds me of? That's such a good point. I remember dating an ex in the past, and my auntie being like, oh, why do you like this person? And I must have been listening. I was like, oh, because of this and this, and he has this and this. And then I felt great with my answer. I was like, oh, yeah, this is why I like him. And then my auntie paused, looked at me, and she was like, Tony, did you notice you never said anything about, like, his character as a person, like him being kind, him being caring, him being loving. It was about, like, his job or how he looks or like things that are superficial. You never said anything about who he is to you based on how he treats you. And then in that moment I was like, oh. I was like, oh my God, wait.
Yeah.
Is it superficial? Like, do I just like him because like of superficial reasons?
Yeah.
And not because I'm actually being treated lovingly or like a queen or like, and I was like, oh my God. And then at the time, like, I understood it, I didn't fully grasp it, but now being in the relationship I'm in now, if someone was to ask me about why I like my partner, I wouldn't even think to say the superficial stuff. It would all be about his character.
Wow.
But at the time, when you think you have a crush, sometimes you don't understand like the underlying reason. Is it because this person has actually been a good person to you? Or is it because like this person is like 6'4" and has a cool job or has money?
Like,
or
what's the reason?
What is the actual reason? Or he drives a Mercedes, like, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we can like people and be like, oh, I have a crush. But it's like, what has he actually done for me? Really? Why do I like this person?
Why do I like him?
Yeah.
Why do I actually like this person? Such a good question to ask yourself, you know. Yeah. But then when you ask yourself that question, you have to be at risk of now it changes everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, you might be enjoying it and then now it's like, oh, you've crossed the other side. We ain't even really spoken about it, which is quite good in a way.
Yeah.
But the people are going to want to know.
They are going to want to know. Sorry, I apologize.
But I feel like people are going to know about how the proposal went.
Oh, yeah, the proposal was sweet. I won't share too much.
Okay, did you see it coming?
On the day, did I see it coming? At first, I thought I did. Then, no, I didn't. Because I didn't know my sister was in on it. So I went to my sister to be like, oh, do you think it's happening on this trip? My sister was like, no. She's like, it's definitely not happening. I'm like, really?
Relax.
I was like, why do I feel like it's happening on this trip? Yeah. She was like, no, like, this trip, there's too much going on. Our cousin's getting married. We're going here. The family's going here. Mm-hmm. She was like, this is not the trip for it. I was like, fair enough.
Yeah.
And so she completely like erased what occurred. in my head. Like, she raised the thought of anything happening in my head. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I shared pictures. I haven't shared any, like, video or stories about it yet.
Yeah.
But that's only because it's, like, again, I share so much. It's like, I don't want
to
show you. But it was,
what
I will say, though, is that I was very vocal about not wanting, like, a public thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was vocal about wanting it to just be the two of us. Mm-hmm. And it was minus, obviously, the two people that were filming and doing videos, which were people I knew, his twin sister and one of our friends. But it was so lovely. It was so sweet. And no one tells you this. And I cried. But no one tells you this. But when the day happens, I've spoken to so many women who are either married or engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You think that you're going to have this level of awareness, either of it happening or during. So he surprised me, which I was surprised by, because I was so sure he'd be nervous and he was as cool as a cucumber. But also during the actual act, I can't remember a word of what he said. Thank God. Get a videographer. Okay, well, I don't know why I'm telling, like, the ladies listening, but men, if you ever propose, get a videographer. Even him, he was, like,
in the zone.
I felt like I was dreaming. So he's talking to me and I'm, like, dazed and confused. I don't even know what he's saying. I'm just like, is this really happening?
Mm.
And it's weird because we had talked about marriage and getting engaged. Like, I knew it was going to happen.
But when
it happens, it still shocks you.
Yeah.
And then, when he asked me to marry him, he said a little speech and asked me to marry him. I didn't even say yes. I was just like, because I was so shocked.
So
no one tells you that you just don't remember it. Because I talk to other brides and I'm like, when you got engaged, do you remember what he said? They're like, no. I can't remember a word of it. I was just so shocked and stunned.
It's like my
mind just went totally blank.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa. But it was lovely. It was so sweet. Aww. And I'm just, it's weird. Again, no one tells you that. When someone proposes to you, they just create admin for the both of you. But that's another.
They create admin?
Yeah, because you don't have to plan a wedding. No one tells you that all of a sudden you're in this, like, love bubble. The feeling, I will say, the day after the engagement is even better than the engagement.
Really? Because you, like, wake up and you're like.
Now I take my ring off at night. I went to sleep with my ring. And literally, when he woke up, he saw me in the bed like.
Oh.
Especially because it's like. He got it like my dream ring
because
to be fair, I told him what I wanted. But it's the fact that obviously he listened. He didn't go and do what he wanted to do. What I wanted to do. Which is considerate, because if you're going to wear it, hopefully all your life.
You have to love it.
You have to love it, right?
Yeah.
So I remember, like, looking at it being like, and the next day, like, we, like, went to run errands because we had just moved into a new apartment in Houston and buying things for the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just walking around, following him in Target, just like looking at the ring. And we were just, like, so loved up.
And obviously
telling, like, calling my aunties, and my parents knew, my siblings knew, I don't know.
Yeah.
Calling my best friend and calling people and being like, telling them and hearing them scream. That was all cute. It was cute.
That's so cute. We were all expecting it, like, obviously, which is like, oh, it's gonna happen. But does it feel really nice to have, like, the world, in a sense, just rooting for you and, like, rooting for it. Do you know what I mean?
That is so lovely. It feels lovely. And it's interesting because a lot of people are so anti-sharing relationships and anti-sharing love. And the narrative is that, oh, the world is so evil and evil eye and people want to destroy it and blah, blah, blah. But I honestly think, based on my personal experience and his personal experience, way more people are actively rooting for us than doing the opposite.
Yeah.
And it was so nice. Like, the day we finally announced it. So the day we announced it wasn't the day it happened.
Yeah.
But the day we finally announced it, and the, like, flood of, like, love from other people being like, oh, I've been waiting for this. I expected this. This is so lovely. You too. Mm. We love you together. It was really lovely. Like, I mean, I don't need it.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, how amazing how amazing our relationship is. But it was also nice, though, just to see how many people are positive and, like, just to, like, reaffirm that the world, I mean, the world has a lot of evil in it. We know that, unfortunately, this year and the year before has shown us in so many different ways. But there's also a lot of good in the world. Yeah. A lot of people that care, a lot of people that love you. Like, even with, like, planning the wedding, like, the amount of people who've reached out and been like, oh, we want to assist with this. Can we help with this? Can we help with that? And I'm like, wow, this is a result of just, like, sharing our love story. And it's amazing. Like, it's literally felt like a fairy tale in so many different ways. Mm. And it was very sweet. The amount of people that were just, like, happy for us. That was very cute.
I love it so much. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. Love, 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 love. Do you feel, like, pressure to continue to, like, share even when you do, like, do you know what I mean? Because obviously we know you as, like, you know, the sister, the auntie of love, the creator of love, love, love. Do you, like, feel,
love, love, love.
Do you know what I mean? Like, do you feel, like, that pressure to obviously you know,
yeah,
transition when you obviously transition to married life, and yeah, do you know what I mean, to continue to share that, or do you yeah feel like maybe you might like
I guess for me, people always ask me like, do I feel pressure? But no, but do you, I think I never feel pressure because one, it's not something I have to force myself to do. It's like second nature. Yeah. I've always been an open book. I'm very transparent. Yeah, yeah. So it's not like, and even when it comes to creating content, for a lot of people, it's like this arduous task that they hate. Second nature. Like yeah, I'll be on vacay. I'm like, since I was little, I'll be at family parties yeah, yeah, and I'll have the camcorder or I have the Kodak camera and I'm the one taking pictures. In uni, I have my little like digital camera. Mm. I'll be posting it on Facebook, tagging everyone. Like, yeah, I love curating memories, and luckily yeah I'm with someone who's the exact same.
Yeah.
So if I do share anything, it's not like, oh my God, this is pressure. It's like, if I share it, I want to share it. Yeah. If I don't share it, in that moment, I don't want to share it. Like, yeah, for example, yeah, even with the engagement, people are like, oh, let's see the video. I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to share it right now. Maybe yeah I'll share it in the future. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, that's true. You didn't share the
video. Yeah, I didn't share it because I didn't really want to.
Yeah.
But I'll share what I want to share. So I never feel pressure. And also, I guess I don't feel pressure because I don't want people to like misinterpret this, but I also don't feel pressure because I'm not like living a lie or living a double life or a second life. Yeah. Like if I was like curating it to the point that something wasn't my reality,
then
there's pressure.
Yeah.
But it's not pressure for me because it's like you get a little snippet of like my real life.
Yeah,
it's like
all
I'm doing is literally existing and posting. This is pretty cool. The fact that I get paid for this too, like I'm existing and I just share it with you guys. No, I don't really worry about the future. The only thing that I'm considerate and mindful of is obviously children. I think with adults, it's fine because it's my page. I can consent to put whatever I want on there. Yeah. And my partner, luckily I'm with a man who is like, literally, he's like me, right? Yeah, he's like the mirror image of me.
Literally,
my equal. Like sometimes I feel like, oh wow, it's like I'm marrying myself.
Twin,
where have you been? Like we are so similar in so many. We're different in a lot of ways, but so similar in so many ways. So for him, it's like I know, like I have friends, and they can't like tag their partner or post their partner. There are certain things they have to be very mindful of, and like being on dates and sharing. Mm. Like with Taiwo, like I still ask him, I'm like, oh babe, can I post this? Like, yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah.
Like he's very creative, and again, it's second nature. He's a documenter in his family.
Yeah.
So I don't worry about that, but I do think about kids, like, oh,
you're gonna share that or not?
Yeah,
share
like
it.
when the time comes, would I want to share that? Like what elements would I want to share, and like what do I want to, like, how am I going to protect this young little person? Yeah. I think being an auntie and having a nephew, it's like, if you notice, like, I haven't, you won't see me, like, post hella pictures of my nephew.
Yeah.
I think I've even only ever posted one, and that was in my subscriber story.
Yeah,
that's not my main feed. So people, my followers don't see that unless you're a subscriber. And I only have, like, 100 subscribers. And even then, I don't really show his face. Like, I might show, like, a zoomed-in thing of his, like, laugh or something.
Yeah.
So I think I'm precious of the kids I do not have yet and how I'll navigate that. But pressure when it comes to us, no, we post what we want. And if you don't see it, then it's, you don't know that it happened.
You don't know. I hear it, man. I think I'm all for like posting your partner and stuff, you know. I'm just like, why am I post? Please see my man's face.
Yeah, and the thing is, no one would die if you post. And do you know, I think for a lot of people, though, it comes from a place of fear of failure again. Like, what if it doesn't work out? Because people used to be like, oh my God, Tony, you're posting. What if it doesn't work out? Like, I would only post if I have the ring. Like, I have the ring now. Now what? Like, all the stuff that I posted, like, all those memories would have, like, not been shared in the way I want to share or documented.
I'm, like, holding. Yeah.
And because I'm just so scared of failure. Like, and the thing is, like, I don't know what it is like about people and just the fear, but men are in abundance. Like if it doesn't work out with one person, then you just get another one. And if you
get
post
another
him,
one.
Like I don't like the Book of Laurie Harvey. If you post him, okay, it doesn't mean you won't find another man. Look how many men she posts. She still finds men. They still want to date her. Like
listen.
if you're the prize, you're the prize. Like you posting a man is not going to eradicate that. And I think like people, fearful of failure, but relationships end and to be fair, I get it. It's not every man you'll post. Like maybe there are men you don't want to be associated with, or maybe there are men who don't want to be posted. Like fair enough. Have to respect people's
private.
Privacy.
Yeah.
But all this like, oh no, the world will end. Evil, what about this? An evil eye and people will ruin it. Let me tell you, a bad man will be bad whether you post him or not. A good man will be good whether you post him or not, right? So posting is not the factor here. Yeah. Are they good or are they bad, right?
Simple.
And people worry like, oh, what if people come to you as well? Do you know what's so funny, actually? Do you know how I knew I was with a great man?
Mm.
I would have people come to me as a woman to tell me how amazing he is. I would have random women message me like, oh, I saw your boyfriend at the supermarket and I was struggling to push my pram and manage my kids and he helped me with this. Aww. Or I saw your man at the airport. I went to college with your man in Alabama and he was so sweet. He was just the nicest guy. Like, I would get women message
me. Not the testimonials.
No, seriously. Tell me like, oh, he's such a great person. Like, people know him to be, oh, I went to church with him. He was such a nice person. Like, people basically saying to me that, oh, like, we're big fans of you, but also we want you to know that he's actually a really lovely guy.
Aww.
Like, you might, the stuff you don't see behind the scenes, like, he's actually really caring, really considerate. And that's when I was like, yeah.
You got a good man.
I got a good man. Wow. Good man, Samantha. So, yeah, but equally at the same time, though, like, again, if people come to you as a woman in a bad way, don't you want to know that he's trifling? Like, sometimes, I remember, like, when I first shared, when I first shared a picture of us, people were like, are you worried? I'm like, nah, I need to do my background check. Yeah. I'm going to post this picture.
Does anyone know this
exactly.
man?
Exactly.
Is anyone in love with this
exactly.
man?
Exactly.
Is anyone under the impression that this is also your man?
Exactly. Sometimes you need,
I think so. Because I feel like when you're hiding your man, you're actually allowing him to just, like...
It makes it easier for him.
What? Are you joking me? It makes it so much... Like you said.
Yeah.
A man is going to do what a man's going
to
do.
Yeah. Regardless, to be fair.
Regardless.
Yeah. Even if he posts you or you post him, he could still do
DJ. He will still do it because some women don't even care anyway. Yeah. They don't give a heck.
Or it even makes him look more appealing.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I can't lie. My base market value has risen. I can't lie. It's true, but it's true. Like, when you got a good one, and equally, like, it works both ways, but when you got a good one, other people will be eyeing him like, oh, what is... If I rate her and she sees something
exactly.
in you, then you must be a good one.
Yeah.
I want you.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
that's what happens. Yeah,
even my brother said when he got married, he said he got moved to more with a ring on his hand than before. He said, it's what? He said, Tony, the way he delivered it was so funny. He's like... Speak to your sisters. I said, what do you mean? He said, why are women like this? He said, why, after I got married, all of a sudden, people want to be moving to me, DMing me. All of a sudden, people I haven't spoken to in ages.
That's crazy.
But before, he said, why? They need to value themselves more. Why do they want a married man? I said, Tommy, crazy. The psychology behind it is nuts.
It's nuts.
But it's because another woman has affirmed the man to be good, of a good standard enough to marry. 100%. And so they think, oh, you've done the hard work for me. You've verified him.
Which is mad, because what's he meant to do now? Leave his wife for you?
And logic, how you get them is how you lose them. So if he is capable of leaving his wife
then
for
he
you...
he must not be as good as you think he
right?
is. Like,
the girlies are not thinking. The girlies are not
wake
thinking.
Wake it up. Wake up the brain, please.
But yeah, I think some men do it too as well.
Yeah,
though.
It's interesting. Yeah. It is... This life, yeah. Anyways, we can be gisting about this love forever. We've actually been talking for a minute.
We have.
We've actually been talking for a minute, so I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Are you as adult as you think you are?
Nah.
Okay. That was a good, honest.
Yeah, nah.
It's a good, honest nah. Well, this is adulthood according to me. So I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
And let's just see where you're at.
Okay, cool.
My first question is this. When it comes to your cleaning products, right?
Yeah.
Do you have... different spray for the kitchen, different spray for like the bathroom, or do you just like use one spray for everything?
Different sprays for different rooms, I do.
Very good. Do you order your stuff in bulk, like the things, your necessities? So let's say like shower gels, deodorant.
Oh, no.
You do it as it finishes?
Yeah, as it finishes.
Yeah. Even though you know you're going to need it?
Yeah.
It's not looking good.
It's not ideal.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
Use different settings, or do you have specific settings for like the pots, for the plates?
I do use different. There are loads of settings, but I alternate between two: intense wash, or like a half full wash.
Okay, that's not bad.
In between
stage. Okay. Do you have life insurance?
You know what's so funny? I was gonna take it out literally like last year, and then my partner and I were talking about it, and we said let's wait because. I found out that my life insurance, if I took it out and moved to America, it will be void. Yes. So I'm going to take it out when I move to America because that's where I imagine my life will be for the extended future. Yeah, because I was reading the fine print. Was it Legal General at the time? And they said that there with a lot of life insurance, if you take it out in one country and you move and you live in a different country.
It's void.
Yeah, they can void it. So I'm going to take it out when I move to the States. But I don't have it as of yet.
Okay, so you've got some of them, right? Do you know what? I've got a gift for you as an adult.
A gift as an adult?
Spa-
Sponges. Low key, I need some sponges.
Have you ever been cleaning and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I wish I had a newer one to clean my bathroom right now, but I forgot to get it in bulk. Sponge squirrers. That is my gift to you.
You know what? That's actually a really great gift.
Thank you very much.
I always need these. Well, thank you. Didn't I expect a gift today?
Finally, someone who appreciates my gift. As you all know, guys, I've been getting insulted consistently for the past few episodes, but now Tony has come and she has appreciated my gift.
I know. This is a nice practical gift. Thank you.
You're welcome. I said thank you to you. But I just feel, I'm saying thank you for appreciating it.
Oh, for the gratitude.
And thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We finally got her here, guys. Ooh. And it was a great episode. I feel like we got some deepness in there, got some therapy in there. Do you know what I mean? Girls, ladies, I'm sure there's a lot to think about.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. Guys, you know the vibes. Okay. Please make sure. First of all, actually, thank you. Okay, I didn't say thank you for listening. So thank you for listening and thank you for watching. Now I'm going to give you some activities to do, okay? Please make sure you share, you subscribe, you tell a friend to tell a friend. Why? Because I don't want to be your secret lover. I want to be the main thing in your life. Don't hide me. Don't keep me to yourself, okay? And if you are listening, please rate the show. Only if it's 5 stars. If it's less than 5 stars, do not rate the show. Keep it in your group chat, and that's my alarm. And also, you know the vibes, okay? If you did not like my co-host today, please do not use that as a reason to not come back. She will not be here next week, okay? She won't be here, so please come back. We have another co-host, and thank you guys so much for all your love and all of your support. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you so much. Bye. Love you. Woo!